Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That's the best one right there.
It's funny, my teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog.
Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog.
And you're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week. He is back. Hank, first time you've joined us since, I think, before the draft in the spring. I guess we need an update. How has your summer been going?
Yeah, long time no chat. It's been going well. I'm just selling sheds still. So I think that's what I was doing last time we chatted. So just been doing that, you know, enjoying the summer. Yeah, okay. Hanging out.
Wow, cool. That sounds fantastic. I don't think you could be having a better summer than slinging sheds to men and women in Minnesota, right?
Well, you could be in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I guess that would be a little bit better. Other than that, we are recording on Sunday, and the big, huge news dropped today with the Chicago Bears. They unveiled their third alternative helmet, this orange one, which looks, I don't know, it's a lot of teams seem to be going the Oregon route with their uniforms and things lately. Hank, what are your thoughts on this Bears helmet, and would you want the Packers to do something similar to this in the future?
Yeah, well, first off, I don't want the Packers to, you know, get it. Yeah, I would prefer they not do that, because we've seen, I guess, now what the Bears look like when they do it, and they look a lot like the Bengals. You know, even, I don't know, has had the quarterback play a couple reps for them. That was a big Bengals all-time player.
Andy Dalton. So, wouldn't that be sad if you could, your franchise could describe Andy Dalton as one of the better players in your franchise?
There's two franchises, or I guess, yeah, two franchises now that can say that.
God, yeah. Unfortunately.
So, but I don't know. It's really gross. It feels, I don't know. It feels like, you know, kind of when you're a child and you're first experimenting in the paint app. And you're just like, oh, I'm going to click fill all here.
The paint
sets you back.
The paint app. That was like what the on our computers growing up in like elementary school. I just remember the blow up. Or was that paint? Or no, I'm thinking kids. Was it Kids Picks or something? Is that what it was called? Where you could like blow up what you were drawing, and it had like the like circular bomb going off in the middle. This is going to hit really well for a couple people, but I guess not you.
Yeah, I don't know if I... Well, I don't... I just... Like, I'm just thinking, like, Microsoft Paint, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, whatever it was that was just on the computer, and you could, like, paste in, you know, pictures of the president and, like, just draw on them.
Yeah. Maybe a mustache or a monocle. Yeah, some cool stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. Something long and slender.
I guess back to the Bears. This has been, I don't want to say I feel bad, but maybe I do feel a little bad for them at this point and their fans, because, you know, they're one of the more historic franchises in the NFL. And this offseason, I don't think their GM's very good. Like, I don't think they're heading in the right path already with the GM and coach combination. There's this helmet stuff, which, with the Packers, I wouldn't want us to do this either. Like the alternative throwback jersey from last year and what we're going to do the next few years, that's about as far that way as I'd want to go. But other than that, too, the stadium shit they're going through, where the owners have bought property out in like Arlington, a suburb in Chicago. So they might move out there. Or the other option is putting a dome on top of Soldier Field, which it's like I can't imagine in an alternative universe, like the Packers going through the same type of shit where you just put a fucking spaceship on top of a very historic stadium. Like Soldier Field has those cool pillars and shit out front. And when they did this latest renovation 10, 15, 20 years ago, whatever, like they even lost accreditation as a historical site because of all the bullshit that they threw on top of that stadium. And now they're talking about a roof. It's like, I think Halas is like rolling in his grave right now if he knew the shit that was going on with the Bears in 2022.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is just a lesson, you know, you lose, this is something coming from someone who's lost quite a bit in his life, mm-hmm. but like you lose long enough and you become ugly, you become what you are, yeah. you know? So I think this is just a franchise that is, you know, shaping around their identity, both literally and metaphorically.
Well, I feel like we're almost going through what we did, like 10 years ago with the Vikings, where it's like, Chicago would never lose their team, but it's like, God, if you keep going down this path, I wouldn't want to lose Chicago yeah. in the division, or well, I don't think it would ever come
know,
to that.
But. You know who really doesn't want this thing to be built?
Who?
The Birds.
Yes. All right, well,
yeah.
I guess we can move on from the Bears and actually talk about the Packers. Obviously, we're, like I said earlier, getting out of the hiatus, the football hiatus we've had all summer. Training camp starts up on Wednesday, so we're just going to go through not the position groups, but just some storylines going into training camp. You know, everyone's getting excited. We got to have our little stories getting ready, you know, to get refamiliarized with this team before. God, I think it's like 50-something yeah. days until the start of
yeah,
actual
it's wild.
Football. It's
well,
every
and
year
like,
just
I guess
keeps up.
You're going to have to refamiliarize me. Ever since Devontae got traded, I've been hiding in my shed sulking. I just
fair
this is the thing is like I don't think I realized I think I realized how much I love Devontae, but like there was like I think that it would have been harder it was harder for me losing Devontae than it was losing Rodgers when we do
oh god
if we had
yeah I guess Devontae was just such a bam shock not expecting getting with Rodgers. Now it's like, you know, it's looking like he will retire with the team, so it'll be a slower process and it won't be an abrupt shock like
yeah well
Devontae
even
was.
Like if he had got traded last year like
Rodgers?
I just think yeah like or like you know even if it had been surprising like there was something I just like Devontae as a person more.
Yeah, that's fair.
That okay
I think a like, lot of people would
to me
well Devontae's closer to a normal ass dude. Rodgers is just I even saw like an interview from like 2019 after the season and he's like talking to Chris Collinsworth or something. He's got like a leather jacket on, normal hair, everything. He's just a normal ass dude. Now it's like, you know, I still defend Rodgers, but now you look at him and it's like you really are just a different person than what you were even 2 years
yeah.
ago, which is fine.
No, like
but.
Yeah, and like you look, it's almost unrecognizable, the guy from like 2008, 2010, yeah. you know?
Like I question if he showers now at this point.
He just like looks like he doesn't, like he looks like he has no identity.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
There's like so many mishmashed, weird things going on. It's like, it's just like you don't even, like, it's like if you go to, you know, McDonald's and, you know, you're a kid and you don't know any better and you mix every single soda in a cup and then you shake it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he looks like right now.
I guess. Well, I like pointed out before, too, because I think he was at that crypto. He was at that crypto convention and he did wear like a leather jacket and had his hair tied back and had glasses on and stuff. And I was like, he looks like Nicolas Cage right now. Like it was not a great look for Aaron.
except like I would actually want to hang out with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, well they got that movie, you could just watch that and it would probably be a similar thing where what
probably
is, yeah.
I think it's been well documented that like I'm kind of over
Yeah, you've
just like, I'm just so he's and he's just exhausting. I mean, he's like, don't get me wrong, he is the like, I think he's the best quarterback to ever walked the earth, you know, or I guess right now floating in the clouds, but I've ever floated in the clouds, but I, yeah, there is something that I'm just like, I don't get excited. I don't get excited about the Packers like I used to, because I think a lot of it has to do because of him.
Oh God, like shut up. Shut up. The juice is worth the squeeze. Don't give me that bullshit. I've heard, I've heard other podcasts say like, similar, like another Packers podcast said that if the Packers won the Super Bowl last year, they wouldn't be able to enjoy it as much because of the person Aaron Rodgers is. And it's like, man.
No, I'm not saying like, I'm serious. It's not even like a,
that was to him, not you.
Yeah, but it's not even like a paintbrush. Like, I'm not like painting it over with one long broad brush. It's just like, there is something that when I like thought he was awesome, you know, that like it was like I did enjoy watching him a little bit more. Like, yeah, like that's just not a lie. That's just how it is, you know.
Yeah, I guess we had very little Aaron Rodgers personal life information back then, and now it's like, okay, we've got too much. We have way too much.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Is like there was something that was still like, I don't know, like he was all business.
Yeah,
all football, and like it's not that. Like also his personal life is fucking weird, you know.
It's like, I think weird, it has man. Been fine, but once he got with Danica and she like likes crystals and stuff, it's like it's just gotten more and more weird to now, you know, his girlfriend being called Blue
like
Earth or whatever.
I really do think it's like pre Danica, man.
Yeah.
Pre Danica.
Yeah.
I think I've said that before. Like, and like I guess I sound like such a whiny little brat, you know? Like there's nothing like it's like one of my superheroes, I realized that he's just like kind of the guy who lives in the trailer down the street, you know, and talks to teenage girls. But, you know, like part of it is whining about that. But like, yeah, it's just, I'm just tired of him.
Yeah. I guess we should probably move on to the actual quarterback stuff instead of just bitching about the person.
Yeah. Like, again, very, very happy he's our quarterback. But like, I it's kind of like when you realize that your cool friend that you thought was your cool friend that you like you would be excited to bring around to people, when you realize like he was actually kind of cringe.
Yeah.
And like then someone told you that something he did that was cringe, and then you saw him do it all the time and you're like, oh
yeah, no, that's fair. I battle back and forth if like I'd rather him have the persona of Tom Brady, which is just like, you know.
Oh no, dude.
It's so fabricated, and the media guys he has hired on to do his tweets and shit. And I'm just like, I don't know what the best thing is.
Don't get me wrong. Like this is like you know how much I have despised Tom Brady.
Yes.
And that hasn't changed, you know, like it's not like one end of the weird is better than the other.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I guess we can agree on
it's
that
like,
then at least.
Is that what's I'm not good at math. Is a parabola like that?
Yeah, I think so. Eventually there's a return.
Yeah, and then Adrian Dillon he's in the middle.
Yes.
He's like the return, the ground zero, the perfection.
God, we're talking way too much about like these players as people, but I would be a little devastated if like it turned out AJ Dillon was actually like a terrible person, because right now it's like, man, he is just so pure and whatever. But okay, we need to get back on track here where I wanted to go with the quarterback position.
I'm just here for character assassination.
That's fair. That your best comment seemed to be on that anyways. Yeah. What I wanted to get to was Jordan Love. I think this is personally, and I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't like this, I just don't think he's the guy. I don't think he's ever going to be a very good player in the NFL. But as far as the league is concerned, this is pretty much his training camp. If he doesn't show anything this preseason, I, once again, it'll just be, you know, put an iron that he's not a very good quarterback. Even guys like Brett Hundley and Graham Harrell were like top quarterbacks who played in the preseason back when they did, and we haven't seen anything close to that from Jordan Love. So I guess last year I was a little more excited to watch him, and then after seeing more of him last year and in season and just the talk around him, it's hard to get excited. What are you gonna say?
So like it is like, okay, so yeah, it's hard to get excited, right? Like, I'm not going to argue that, but I will argue that, like, I don't, like, I know we saw that game against Kansas City, right?
Yep.
But like their defense after that, like, did similar things to like some okay quarterbacks, like, yeah, following that game. And like their defense was very, very good at following that game.
I know that, so, game, like, they like switched something with their defensive line too, and yes, stuck with it the rest of the year, and it seemed to help.
Yes. So like, I want to like put an asterisk on kind of like we've seen more of him, because like, I just don't know if we've, like, well, I'm not ready to, like, I guess here's my thing is, like, I'm not ready to write him off because of that one game. And so, like, I don't know, maybe if there's more reports coming out that he's like looked bad, that's something. But I guess I would like to see maybe a little bit more preseason now that we don't have Bert Kenthart anymore, or what's his name, I don't know,
Kurt Banker. You guys didn't like him very much. I know what you're saying about Jordan Love too, but the thing for me, and honestly what probably the most damning piece of evidence, and it is probably, you know, reading into it too much, but Davante Adams, when asked about the move a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, he's got certain places he wants to go in his career, and he said, Jordan Love is a good guy, but, you know, I just had to do what was best for me or whatever. The fact that it would have been very easy for Devontae to say Jordan Love is like a good player or a decent quarterback or anything about his play. And he went with the he's a good guy route, which is
about Jordan Love.
I think it was just, you know, what played into your decision.
Oh,
and then he brought that up.
That seems. Yeah, I guess. Okay. Well, that I did not know that. So that actually makes me less excited.
Okay. There you go. I'm very convincing.
Yeah, but like, also, let's be honest. When you go from one MVP player to another MVP player, maybe you're just a little too lucky.
Yeah. No. What did he say? One Hall of Fame player to another Hall of Fame player. I mean, I wish there was video of that, because he had to have had a smirk on his fucking face when he was saying it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, Devontae's, like we said earlier, he's a good dude, so I think we could trust him either way.
Moving
on to running backs, not too much to talk about there.
Dang, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I just, that is quite the indictment.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's
damn.
We'll see what Jordan Love's. You know, if he comes out and balls out this preseason, then who really cares? But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Running backs, I don't think there's a bunch to talk about with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. They kind of have their roles solidified. I think Aaron Jones is going to be, you know, he is the guy on offense now. I thought of it the other day, too, with Devontae gone and Bakhtiari being what he is at this point. Aaron Jones, we all talk about him probably being cut next year because his cap number goes to like over $20 million. But he, in my book, is the second most important player on the offense right now. So I still, depending on how the season goes, I wouldn't be shocked to see Aaron Jones come back on maybe a reduced deal. But that's beyond the point here. The only real battle for running backs this training camp is going to be Patrick Taylor versus Tyler Goodson. Tyler Goodson is the undrafted free agent out of Iowa with the 9.54 RAS score. Kylan Hill is probably going to start the season on the PUP, and a little bit of information here. Usually the PUP is 6 games. It has now been reduced to 4 games. So depending on how his rehab is going, that could be a good thing or a bad thing, but we'll have to see what happens. One of the things with preseason, it's like the very easy battle that like fans can watch is the running backs and who's performing. So that should be interesting, especially with the depth we have on the offensive line. Hank, do you have any thoughts on the running backs here?
No, always up for a good RAS score.
Okay. Hell yeah.
I don't know. I just know who I'm going to be rooting for every game.
And that's A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
Moving on to wideout. There's a lot to talk about here, but also not that much. We kind of know who's making the roster. The top 6 guys are pretty much all guaranteed, with Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard, Cobb, Amari Rodgers, Watson, and Romeo Dubs. So it's really When are the young guys going to show up? It came out on Friday. I believe that Watson is going to start training camp on the PUP list, which just means physically unable to perform when you're on at the beginning of training camp. It's basically just kind of being on IR, but they can take him off at any time, and it sounds like it's not going to be a big deal. But it'll be interesting to see how all of that shakes out with the veterans up top, with Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb. What's Amari Rodgers going to do this year? Who from the young guys is going to bust out? Obviously, a lot of people are building up the hype around Romeo Dubs, not just Christian Watson, and even Rodgers brought up Samari Toure when asked about the young receivers a couple weeks ago on the Pat McAfee show. So what are you looking for, or what are your expectations with the wide receiver position going into this year, Hank?
I don't know. I'm not really panicked.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm kind of just like, I think that, like, also, like, even when we had the best receiver in the league, all I heard was about the wide receiver core.
Right.
You know, like, so I just, I'm exhausted by it. You know, you can only pay attention to it for so long. I'm just like, I mean, I am kind of excited to see, like, also that it's going to have to be up to these guys and, you know, someone like Alan Lazard. And so, like, we're going to have to get creative and spread the ball around and, not just hope that Devontae breaks away and, gets, a first down. And
a lot of guys have said that too, you know, how Rodgers plays more within the offense when Devontae is out. So I guess we'll see how that actually shakes out, but we are in a weird spot with the offense and even the NFC North. I don't, this is probably stupid to say, but looking at the Vikings, I wouldn't be shocked if at the end of the year, the Packers have a better defense than the Vikings and the Vikings have a better offense than the Packers, just based off weapons and everything. But that's probably a terrible statement to put out this early in the season.
I like that we have a better offense and defense.
There you go. Okay. I hope so. That, Cobb has said this too, how he wishes he had this Rodgers when he was younger, because he seems to be a little more, you know, easygoing and stuff. But early in the season, I'm looking forward to seeing Rodgers yell at a couple guys on the field, you know, see that fire coming out of his mouth again. Moving on to tight end. Once again, not a bunch of ways the roster can shake out at this position. I think the biggest, obviously, Robert Tonyan's on the PUP. We'll see when he comes back. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't end up on the PUP to start the season, but we'll just see. I really think it comes down to Josiah DeGuara and Tyler Davis, the undrafted guy that we picked up last year. I think one of those two guys really has to show up. The last few years, it's kind of been like, whatever. We've had Robert Tonyan, who showed up pretty well in 2020, but other than that, it's been a lot of just, you know, the land of misfit toys with these guys. So it would be nice if DeGuara or Tyler was able to show up, just because there's that spot missing on offense in that role.
Yeah, it's weird not talking about Jay Sternberger.
God, I still think, because I was listening to a different podcast today too, and I think Matt Schneidman had mentioned how from the get-go the Packers like knew that was a bad selection. Like he played like 1 year of D1 football and had a couple big plays, and he was still able to get drafted that high. And it's, especially with Terry McLaurin going the pick after, it's a tough pill to swallow.
I didn't know that second part. That is tough.
Yeah. We did sign Sal Cannella. We cut some other tight end. Sal Cannella we signed last week, though. He had the most receiving yards for a tight end in the USFL that got relaunched this year. And he even had the 11th most receiving yards overall in the USFL. So I don't know, maybe he'll be a bit of a surprise and push someone like Dominique Daphne or whoever off the roster, but we'll see.
Oh, I love Dominique.
He's the best. It's bad when, and I've said this before, that Dominique Daphne comes in and, you know, takes the roster spot of Jay Sternberger, who was a freaking third round draft pick. Like, that should just never happen.
Big Dom, man. Big Dom.
Yes. Moving on to the offensive line. We had some news on Saturday because Brian Bulaga was put on the PUP list to start training camp, which once again, like I said, just means he won't practice the first day. We'll see if he comes back, but it is not a very good way to start camp. It's probably the biggest.
Did you say Brian Bulaga?
Did I say Brian? Oh my God. I guess he's just been hurt so much. I'm thinking of him as Brian Bulaga. No, sorry.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Sorry.
Maybe I'm crazy.
David Bakhtiari.
Maybe I like, maybe I just like
incepted heard that
too, because he is hurt. So yeah. Well, when we when you go back and edit it, it'll be interesting to see who heard what.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But Brian Bulaga, he is in Green Bay right now, or was yesterday, to catch that soccer match, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, Bakhtiari is still on the PUP list, cannot practice, and it's hard not to get really worried right now. If he's not suited up and playing week one, I'm not sure if he's ever going to play for the Packers again. You know, he had the 27 snaps week 17 in Detroit, and that was the last time he played. And it's about as scary as it could be right now. And obviously with Elgton Jenkins also tearing his ACL last season, not the best spot to be in, but with the draft picks this year, Goody's at least given us a chance on the offensive line. And I mean, I guess I do like the depth we have there. We'll see what happens with Yosh. I think the couple battles are going to be seeing what happens with Yosh at right tackle. He's probably going to compete there once Bakhtiari comes back. If he does, if not, I'd assume he's going to be the left tackle. But between Sean Ryan and Royce Newman, I think that's going to be the battle at both right guard and right tackle. I think one of those two guys will end up in either of those spots, depending on what happens with Yosh. And Zach Tom, the fourth round draft pick who played center his senior year, we'll see if he becomes that backup center, which is a spot on the roster that Rodgers has said in the past is a very important role because they always end up playing. But Hank, do you have any real takes with the offensive line here?
Not really. I don't, kind of said it all. Scared that Bakhtiari won't be back too early.
One thing I feel, this is incredibly stupid, but that gives me a little bit of hope, is those American Family Insurance commercials. There's some giveaway where you can, you know, if you're a kid, you can win one of those bike rides, the Dream Drive, now that they've, you know, called it that so that they can make money off it. You can win this contest and David Bakhtiari will bike to practice with you. So I'm like, okay, well, if he's biking to practice, that's a little, you know, makes me feel optimistic about him practicing, but you know, it probably doesn't really mean much of anything, but we'll see there.
Yeah.
I feel good about the offensive line, especially once we get Elgton Jenkins and Bakhtiari back, if they both come back this year. But yeah, it'll be interesting too to see with the new offensive coordinator, with Adam Stenovich, if we do turn into more of a run oriented team, which could play a role in Yosh playing right tackle as opposed to a Sean Ryan, who would be more of a run blocker, as opposed to Yosh, who's more of a pass blocker. But we'll see. That's a lot of stupid shit to say when I don't really watch the offensive line all that much.
Hey, I don't think you're stupid.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, I didn't say I was stupid. I said a stupid thing.
I don't think you say stupid things.
Okay, thank you. That's all I wanted to hear. Moving on to the defense, starting at corner. And God, as long as these guys can stay healthy, obviously it's Jair, Eric Stokes, and Rasul Douglas starting. It's looking like Rasul Douglas is going to be the slot corner, which is where he played during training camp or during OTAs this offseason. He has a better, you know, I would think if Jair didn't have that shoulder injury, that's where they'd have him, because it's more of a playmaker spot on this defense. But Rasul is just such a, you know, ball hawk, and getting him close to the line, he's not afraid to tackle. I think that's a good spot for him. So we'll see what happens there. But after that, it really is just kind of a shit show. We have Nixon, who we picked up from the Raiders. He spent some time with our special teams coordinator, Bisaccia, who's a contributor for the Raiders there. So I think he's a good lock to make the team. And other than that, it's Shamir Jean Charles, who was a fifth rounder last year, didn't show much. And then the two other undrafted guys from last training camp, Kabion Ento and Enos Gaines. One of those two will probably make the roster. And then there's Rico Gafford, who was a practice squad wide receiver last year, who has since converted to corner. So we'll see. And he's also wearing number 37, which is Sam Shields' old number. So any big takes on the corners there, Hank? We don't have a ton to talk about. It's just, you know, hopefully all those guys stay healthy and we won't have to worry about much.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah, but like, I'm excited to watch them. I'm most excited to watch them play this year.
Yes. If those guys can hold up, I mean, you just get excited because it's like Jair and the rest of the secondary coming together and then Rashawn Gary getting his shit together. It's like, man, this could be a really, really good defense. Moving on to safety. Obviously, Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage will lock up the first two spots there. Amos is playing in a contract year. It's a good year for free agents, too, for the Packers, because Adrian Amos and Elton Jenkins are really the only two guys that I would say are would be big losses at the end of this year. Maybe like Alan Lazard, he's in a contract year as well, and Yash, but you can kind of figure those guys out. But other than that, I think the battle is Vernon Scott versus Sean Davis for that third safety spot. Vernon Scott didn't play much at all last year. He was a later round draft pick a few years ago. And Sean Davis was a guy we picked up and has been running with the twos and in on the dime packages. So we'll see what happens there. Nothing too exciting. And especially with Quay Walker being part of the defense now, hopefully we don't need to see that third safety that much. Moving on to inside linebacker, like I mentioned there, I think the big question for me is how long is it going to take for Quay to get up to speed? Always with rookies, that's one of the big things is, you know, when can they catch up to the speed of the NFL? Coming from Georgia, I'm not too afraid of that. It's just we really haven't been very good at drafting inside linebackers, so that's the big thing. Hank, what do you think of Quay? We haven't really heard your take, you know, our first pick this year. Do you think he's going to be a good player? Were you excited to, or surprised to see us draft him in the first round?
I was so surprised. I'm pretty excited. It's always nice to, you know, it's always nice to like get something when you already have the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, I guess having Devondre Campbell already in there, right. It feels like less of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
I think less of like, a necessity,
yes,
for the team in a way that like if he doesn't pan out, like we're risking something by taking him.
Yeah. And it's nice just to have that pro next to him who can show him, you know, the ropes and all that. I guess their measurables are very comparable as well. So we'll have to see there. I thought of it this offseason as well. It's kind of funny how, you know, we've struggled the last decade to find guys to play really well at the inside linebacker position. And what it took is literally signing Devondre Campbell. And he talked about this offseason, how he did sign late, but a big reason for that was he wanted to come in and only play the Mike linebacker role. And other teams gave him offers, but they told him, you know, we'd probably move him around. And it wasn't until the Packers came and were like, yeah, we'll keep you at the position you want to play. So it's literally finding a good player who wants to play one certain role and drafting a guy from a top tier college, you know, college team who's extremely athletic. And that's probably going to be what saves our ass at that position for the first time, what seems like forever. Moving on to outside linebacker, obviously Preston Smith. We got the other guys behind them with Randy Ramsey and everyone else coming back. You know, we'll see what happens there. Maybe Kingsley and Igbari will show up in training camp, but edge rushers, rookies, that usually takes a little bit longer too. We kind of saw that with Rashawn Gary. But speaking of Gary, I think this training camp, once again, it's going to be watching him. Has he turned that corner to become an elite player? We always see these stats where he's one of the top pass rushing edges in the league. I think he had like the highest win rate in the NFL last year for winning pass rushes. But now this is the year where he's got to put it all together and become that Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, whatever type player to push this defense to that elite level as well. You've always been a Bane Gary guy, Hank. What do you think we're going to get from Gary this year?
Yeah, the only thing I literally ever criticized Rashawn about was the Bane thing at first, and then I grew to love it because it's so dumb. So
yeah,
like I actually think he's a genius.
I love it now too. His promos that he cuts with like the Bane narration over it. It's like what I wonder what software like, he's using because they're so weird.
So
they're like bad
they're
ads.
So bad they're good. Exactly. They're so bad they're good. Like it kind of just feels like something like an Adult Swim like just gag that is someone's playing for real.
Yeah.
Which is like awesome.
It's like if you took a commercial from a different country and converted it to English, you know, like it's just, there's so much going on. It's like there's a QR code and the narration and then Bane Gary. And then there's just always way too much going on.
Yeah. It's wild. He's a wild child. Like, but like, it's also kind of, you know, how intense and like how much he just probably like loves Bane Gary and like thinks it's so cool. And like, you gotta kind of like just love that confidence.
Yeah. Like he's, I don't think he probably appreciates like the nuance of the Bane character. He's like, that's a big guy with a mask. I want to be him, you know?
Yeah. 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 You know, like, I don't think in his position, like they're like, I don't know. He's not a nuanced guy. He's a, you know, a tackle is a tackle kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. He was one of the few veterans for like the last organized team activity practice. And he just talked about how all offseason he's been thinking about that loss and how this needs to be the year where they put it all together and how sick he is of just losing in the playoffs, which I love that shit. Obviously, you know, we've talked about Z enough on the show and how much I hate him now, but we didn't really hear the team goals from Z, and we're getting that from Gary as a young player. It's nice to see him take more of this leadership role as well.
This is like, again, the brattiest thing I can say, you know, like Z seemed to love football for like kind of just being able to be in the light.
Yes.
You know, like he kind of liked the light, you know.
No one loves Z
Gary
more than
just
Z.
Seems to like. Yeah, exactly. But Gary just seems to like love the football because it's covered in mud and stuck in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. And I still obviously hate follow Zadarius on social media. And I'm like, he's got his fucking photographer following him around everywhere. And I'm looking forward to this rivalry. You know, I don't hate Zadarius, but it's very fun to kind of have this little thing pop back up with him signing with the Vikings. So we'll see how that goes week one this year. Moving on to the defensive line. Obviously, we know that the Packers drafted Devontae Wyatt in the first round. We also signed Jerron Reed. Dean Lowry coming back. It seems like this is the first time that Kenny Clark has had a full set of dudes around him, of dogs around him, one could say. And I'm pretty excited about that. But I really think it's going to come down to who between Wyatt and Jerron Reed are going to put it together and contribute, because Jerron Reed, a lot of people are excited about him, but he seems to have bounced around the league quite a bit, and I'm very excited for the long-term, you know, aspirations of Devontae Wyatt, but usually defensive linemen, it takes them a little bit longer to get up to speed in the NFL. Hank, are you excited that Kenny finally has some players around him to hopefully, you know, elevate him to that all-pro level once again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Like, the whole defense is pretty exciting, to be honest.
It's tough because I'm too excited. It's like there's no way they're going to be able to live up to the expectations that I've built. But Barry's been pretty solid in the, you know, the big thing we heard coming in with him was he, you know, he's not like a defensive mind like Pettine was, of just, you know, he has a set scheme that he wants to do. Barry is more like he's a player's coach and he wants to play to the strengths of the player. So now that we have all these tools for him, I'm very, very excited to see us put it all together. Hopefully week one. I'm glad we're playing the Vikings early as well. But
yeah.
Yeah.
It's always fun when it's the first game.
Yes, I think we lucked out the COVID year as well, playing them the first game at home and not having to worry about any of that other stuff with them getting together. And especially this year, too, with the new head coach and our defense probably being a strength. Hopefully we'll have that advantage because our defense has played together, and now it's going to be Kirk Cousins and everyone on that offense playing the first time with, what's his name, Kevin O'Connell, the Jets old backup quarterback or some shit. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens there. And of course, moving on to the most important part, especially for this podcast, the special teams. I'll just run through all these little bits here. Mason Crosby is back. A lot of people wondered if he would be after the pretty subpar season last year, but he's back. It seems like Goody realized that it seems to be more of a holding snapping issue than it was Mason actually missing last year. So maybe we'll find out pretty early. Pat O'Donnell is the punter, the Bears' old punter. He's a pretty solid holder, it sounds like. It sounds like that won't be an issue. Hopefully we never have to talk about holding again on this podcast. And obviously punting in Chicago, he learned to be a pretty good winter punter as well. I believe in December he's still averaging like 45, 46 yards a punt, which is when Corey Bojorquez and God, J.K. Scott seem to really struggle. Then we have the most important position battle of all training camp. Long snapper, Stephen Wirtle, who was our snapper that got, who allowed the block against the Niners in the playoffs, is back. I'm kind of surprised he's still with the team because he kind of really only joined halfway or started halfway through the season. And he's going up against Jack Coco. Have you heard anything about Jack Coco, Hank?
Oh, but I'd like to.
Perfect. Bill Huber wrote a pretty good story on him. This dude, where was it? It wasn't Virginia Tech. I think it was Georgia Tech is where he's played. He hasn't snapped since high school. He signed on as a walk-on at Georgia Tech, played some offensive line, senior year, played tight end, and now he signed on with the Packers to compete at long snapper. It looks like the Packers' assistant special teams coordinator, after the draft, reached out to Coco, had him fly out to meet with these other like long snapper coaches, I guess. Coco went there, got the thumbs up from them. Then the special teams assistant sent him to meet with, I forgot who it is, but a former long snapper in the league. He okayed him too, said, okay, yeah, his snaps look good. So then they brought Coco in for a tryout. Didn't even sign him. Brought him in for a tryout, which usually maybe once every couple of years the team will sign a tryout, but it's usually never more than one or two guys. Comes to the tryout, wins, you know, gets signed the next day, and now he's competing for, you know, to be the starting long snapper for the Packers. So I think it'd be kind of funny if literally what it takes to replace Brett Goode, who was the last long snapper who seemed to know what he was doing, is literally bringing in a guy who hasn't snapped a football in 4 years, you know, in any competitive environment. So we'll see what happens there, but I'm obviously heavily rooting for Jack Coco after Stephen Wirtle kind of blew it last year. But Hank, any big special team stakes you got to get out? I guess we got Rich Bisaccia too, the new special teams coordinator, and it can't really be much worse than last year, but anything you're dying to get out here?
Not really. I'm just
cool
dying for them to get out of that rut.
Yeah. I really, it was bad when after Meninga we're like, ugh, it can't get worse, and then it literally could not have gotten worse than, you know, losing a playoff game because of special teams. So yeah. As long as they're competent, I'll be happy. It really seems like it's setting up, like Goody set the table now that if the Packers fail to win it all this year, it's kind of Aaron Rodgers and the offense's fault. But we'll see. A lot of football to be played. But other than that, Hank, you got anyone on the roster, anything you want to talk about here? I think we covered everything pretty well.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Cool. All right. Well, we will have a quick commercial break, and then we'll have take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, and we are back. Take news. You know, it's been a long off season. We got a few things we can just run through here, all extremely, extremely important, but we got to get it out of the way. and we'll start here. Hank, the Madden rankings. It was the talk of the internet this week. It's pretty smart. I hate Madden. I haven't bought a Madden game in like 10 years, but they're incredibly smart, EA, to release these rankings, like a position group, one at a time, a week before training camp starts when we're still just hungry for that football content. And then they just literally give ESPN and all the talking heads shit to talk about for a full week by just releasing these ratings. But did you see these, Hank? Anything that really got you pissed off? Tom Brady was a point ahead of Rodgers. AJ Dillon is rated an 80. The highest receiver we have is Sammy Watkins at 78 or 79.
Brady's rated the top quarterback.
That's so stupid. I hate it. I think EA always, they got people there who just love him. Like, even, I don't think Rodgers should be ahead of Mahomes. Not like it's a big deal, but like, yeah. Rodgers a 96 and Brady being a 97.
Honestly, Rodgers being at like 96, 95 feels right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I understand because like there's people at, I remember when I was really big into Madden and I was doing Mutt and just like all the people who are working on the game and like doing all the updates just were such big Brady fans.
Yes.
Like, and like, I think like Tampa Bay Brady fans.
That, I think they're like Florida based because the Dolphins would always get really high ratings as well, if I remember back in the day.
No, I think they are in Miami or something like that.
Yeah. EA has just ruined that game. It's so sad that the NFL, I think they re-upped with them too, so that no one else can make an NFL football game, but it's the same shit every single year. The other rating that I hated, and this is just way too in the weeds, I mean, just talking about these bad ratings is stupid as it is, but the one that really pissed me off is Yosh Nyman was rated a 66 overall. Rico Gafford, the current corner who converted from wide receiver, is a 65. So EA is saying that a guy who hasn't even played professionally at the position he's listed at is just slightly less good than Yosh, who started half the season at left tackle for the Green Bay Packers. Just
that makes sense.
Quite the oversight. moving on. Yesterday, soccer at Lambeau Field happened. Munich and Manchester City played their exhibition match. 1-0, rained a lot, but the big thing to talk about, another huge storyline today, Hank, AJ Dillon getting shoved by the cop. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Pretty dumb. I guess during the rain delay, AJ Dillon went down on the field. He got it okayed by a couple cops, went down there, and the other cop apparently didn't get the message and literally yanked him back when he was going to do a Lambo leap and then shoved him after AJ seemed to talk to him and explain what was going on. And couple people were throwing beers at the cop and stuff. Not the best visual to have at Lambeau Field. And what are your thoughts on that, Hank? I don't know if you saw that clip. And also, Do you like these types of events at Lambeau? This is the first soccer match I think they've had, but the Badgers even played there a couple of years ago when they beat LSU. So any big Lambeau thoughts here or thoughts on the cool cop or douchebag cop that shoved Dillon?
Yeah, fuck that guy. Don't touch AJ.
Yeah.
Never touch AJ.
True.
He's nimble. He deserves the world. And when you treat him then less than the world, then you're a douche.
True. So true.
So fuck that guy. I mean, I think it's cool to see like Lambeau up and running over the summer like that. I saw it on TV actually. And I saw I don't know, it's kind of cool to see Lambeau Field out to eat and kind of sweet.
Yeah. They usually have one big concert every year too. I can't remember what they have this year, but I know they've had like Paul McCartney and Billy Joel in the past, which that would be pretty cool too. But once again, kind of like the helmet stuff, this is about the limits that I would do. I guess I don't know what else you could really do. I've been there at halftime when they had Ultimate Frisbee as the halftime show. That was pretty cool, but nice to see, I guess, another way for the team to generate revenue during an offseason when most teams aren't really doing much of anything. Moving on, I just want to touch on this quick, but I wanted to be one of the first. Let's not forget this offseason, Greg Jennings, or during training camp here, Greg Jennings is going to be inducted to the Packers Hall of Fame. Greg should be a Packers Hall of Famer, and I guess Kyle isn't here, and he's a little harder on Greg Jennings. I don't really like him that much either. I do think he's gotten a bit of a tougher rap than he should, even though he has said some dumb shit, but that'll be a storyline this in a couple weeks here, which I'm sure is going to be great. We're going to get someone's going to ask Rodgers about Jennings, and we're going to get a nice quote that'll make headlines for the day. But speaking of Rodgers, I don't think we need to talk about Greg anymore. Everyone's been waiting for this. Rodgers obviously got the new tattoo a couple weeks ago. We're late on it, but Hank, we talked about Rodgers a little earlier and who he's become. What did you think when you saw Rodgers' tattoo, and what do you think of this tattoo overall?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's just like every kid I knew getting tattoos in college.
Yeah.
Not me being in college, just kids that went to college.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like, of course, like the person who gets his first tattoo is going to tell you how meaningful it is. Yeah. And like how everything symbolizes something. Like, you walk into an undergrad English class and ask anyone that has a tattoo that, like, I don't know. It's like you're not special. You're just late to the game.
Yeah, it's because what he posted it, and I think he said he's going to break down the meaning of it. But, you know, like when he gets asked that, I'm sure the statement's going to start with, well, I've done a lot of reflecting over the last few years, and he's going to just go into some, you know, soliloquy or whatever, explaining why he got it. But I kind of like it. I'm curious to see if it's a business tattoo, because if he's still wearing the play wristband, armband thing, I think it's going to cover up the whole tattoo when he's on the field. You know, so unless he gets rid of it, but I think he said the last few years, like, he keeps it because there's just so many words when you're saying the play in the huddle that he's had to keep that wristband. So we'll see there. But yeah, I agree. I mean, tattoos, you know, do what you want. You know, some people you'll be in like frat guys, you know, get fucking tattoos and stuff. And it's like, I don't know, I guess this is a little bit better than that. But
is it?
Huh? Is it?
Is
it? I think so. I think his looked.
Is it? I don't know. Like it. Oh, I thought it looked awful. It was so dumb.
I think it was. It like, looks cool. There's a lot worse tattoos, especially in the NFL.
Well, yeah, but like, I don't know. Like, it's so basic, bitch. It's just so basic, bitch.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sure he has like above his like bed too, something like, not all who wander are lost.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and then he'll tell you, oh yeah, that's from, you know, that's J.R.R. Tolkien.
I bet if he does the McAfee show again this year and he does his book club again, which you love, I bet he will connect something with his tattoo to a book that he brings up this year. I'm going to call my shot on that right now.
He sucks.
I guess the last thing to talk, I guess we talked about a little bit earlier, but his new girlfriend, do you have any thoughts on Blue Earth, who is she has came out and it's so bad. It's like, I remember early on in Rodgers, this has just been his like personal life throughout his career. Like, he had to say at one point in like 2010, 11 or something, because there was this rumor that he got like married to his high school girlfriend, sweetheart or something. And he had to come out and say like, no, I didn't marry my high school sweetheart. Why are you guys asking this stuff? And now, like, we go from that innocent question to now his current partner saying, having to come out and say that they are not a witch. Like, that is how far this has swung with Roger's personal life. I don't, any takes on the girlfriend? We probably shouldn't be talking about this stuff because it doesn't matter and it's stupid, but I did like that her name is Blue Earth, which is a city here in Minnesota that has the big Jollibee Giant statue? Have
this.
Did you know that? Have you seen the Jollibee Giant?
Yeah, I have, but I will say that her name is all, her first name is actually the same, spelled the same as the e-cig company.
Blue?
Yeah.
Have you smoked a blue e-cig before, Hank?
Oh, I mean, once in a while.
Okay, I didn't even know the name of that. I always think of
Isn't it BLU? Isn't it BLU? No, I think there's...
I mean, that seems right. There's just so many U's involved with the e-cigarettes, with Juul and Blue, where I'm not quite sure because I don't partake.
Yeah, I'm fact checking it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Blue e-cig. Yep, they're like just disposable throwaway ones.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, we got we got to the bottom of that. That was important.
I mean, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw her name. I just
what's the e-cig?
E-cig, yeah. E-cig.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I feel like they're probably smoking something a lot more psychedelic than e-cigs, you know? That's a thing, too. Have you seen the picture of, like, Rogers at the golf tournament and everything where his eyes are just beet red?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Yep.
Like, he also reminds me of, like, someone who's, like, talks about getting drunk all the time and then like never actually drinks.
Uh-huh.
You know, like he's someone that like when push came to shove, would he like actually do peyote? Or is he just like more like the idea of peyote? You know?
Yeah.
Is he actually gonna go into the woods and camp for, you know, backpack for 30 days, or is he just gonna, you know, walk up a mountain, take a picture quick and leave?
Yeah, I guess it's kinda like the beer chugging thing where it's like, hey, yeah, I want to look like I can do this, and then he tries, and it's like, actually, you know what? I'm gonna lower my beer and just sip on it and give Dave a thumbs up.
Yeah, so
the like effort's there, but he'll give up halfway through.
Yeah, you can like talk about how much you like alcohol, having a glass of scotch after the game, and like say scotch 100 times. But
yeah, I hope we never hear him say that again.
Yeah, me too. I hope there's a lot that we never hear from him again.
Yeah, I was just laughing earlier, you know, thinking about it when he was wearing the leather jacket, going to a crypto convention and going overseas for his watch company that he's, you know, the face of, and the new girlfriend and crystals and peyote. It's been a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Hank, that's really all I had. You know, I'm sure we'll have a lot more storylines and everything with training camp starting up on Wednesday, but... Man, I guess I'll do everyone's favorite part of the episode. If you could please leave a 5-star review, that would be cool. It's been a while, I think, since we've had a new review on iTunes. So you can leave a rating on iTunes. That'd be cool, too. Or Spotify, leave a rating. If you leave a review, or if you just want one, want a koozie from us, leave a review, take a screenshot, email it to us at pmppodcast@gmail.com or DM it to us on Twitter at PMPpod, and we will send you a free koozie. Or if, I don't know, you just like the show, you can leave a review. That would be nice. You know, I think that does something with the algorithm to have us pop up more. With that, Hank, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm good.
That's quite
just happy
drama.
To be here.
Perfect. Well,
I think so. I like you kind of cut out on my end and you went really, really fast for a second. So I think, okay. I think that was, there was just a delay.
I'm glad we've had some technical difficulties here, and I'm glad we were able to make it through the whole podcast. It got a little touch and go there for a minute, but at least we didn't have a big screw up until the end. So
yeah, I'd rather not. I would. There's no one I'd rather touch and go with.
Thank you. With that, Hank, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
I'm good. Have a great week.
Perfect. Well, with that, Eric Huskinen, please don't sue us.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Like me down here. pack of cigarettes now. You can take the job or shove it, 'cause I ain't working here no more. I ain't rich, honey, you wanna stay with me? Yeah, you're gonna stay poor, darling, I don't really care. 'Cause they ain't working like me down here. Oh. I said, hey now, babe, I'm going deeper down in debt. Yet I got a six pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes.